Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. It's good to be disillusioned, both by the dictionary definition of the word, to be disappointed in someone or something that one discovers to be less good than one had believed, and by the root of the word itself, which means to have one's illusions stripped away and removed so one can see reality more clearly and accurately. Americans desperately need to become disillusioned. If your government and society are indeed less good than you've believed, you need to know that. If illusions are preventing you from doing what you need to do to ensure the survival of your family and your people, those illusions need to be stripped away. And that's how I see my function on planet Earth. That's how I see the purpose of my life. Because I've learned things, I've seen things, and experienced things that disillusioned me, and I want to share my knowledge with you. The things that we are taught to believe about politics, about morality, about race, about social issues in 2014 America are almost all very nearly the opposite of the truth. Think about that. For you millions of Americans still under the thrall of the controlled media and the captured academy, for those of you with a strong suspicion that I'm either seriously crazy or seriously evil, entertain this idea for a moment. What you believe is the opposite of the truth. And that goes double for the things that you regard as your most sacred, most cherished beliefs. One such erroneous idea, still very common in America today, is the belief, generally held by conservatives and liberals alike, in the especially virtuous character of Jews. The liberal view of Jews today is that they are a poor, oppressed minority, perennial victims of an irrational, vicious hatred called anti-Semitism, which culminated in the Nazi Holocaust, and that all good people have a sacred moral obligation to be ever vigilant in case anti-Semitism should ever rear its ugly head again. Jews, in their view, must be protected always. The conservative view of Jews today is even more worshipful. The religious conservatives almost deify Jews, seeing them as the chosen people of God in their Bible, with the Jewish state being a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and the central focus of God Himself, who will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse her. And the conservatives, with a few exceptions, are very much in the blessing camp. And both sides of the phony left-right spectrum seem to accept the Jews' own claim to be the most humanitarian and moral people on the face of the earth, whose mission is to oppose hate and bring love and brotherhood to everyone by tearing down borders, mixing the races, and criminalizing hate speech. This oppressed minority is the most amazing oppressed minority ever to exist in history. The oppressed minority, despite the fact that they only constitute about 2% of the American population, controls 75% of the top executive positions at CBS, NBC Universal, Fox, Time Warner, Viacom, ABC, and the Walt Disney Company. In other words, they absolutely control all of the largest mass media corporations in this country. This powerless, helpless, tiny, oppressed minority, so in need of our protection, holds 72% of the highest executive positions in the major Wall Street banks, whose monopoly on the creation of money has made them the nexus of the greatest accumulation of wealth in all human history. These oppressed and powerless people, despite their minuscule numbers, have also managed to occupy more than 65% of the senior executive positions at the largest Wall Street mutual funds, private equity funds, hedge funds, and brokerages. And the amazing, almost unbelievable coincidences go much further than that. The powerless and sainted minority also holds a similar degree of dominance and control in newspapers, magazines, and online media. Janet Yellen, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, holds what is considered to be the greatest position of economic power in the world. Janet Yellen is a member of the oppressed minority. Astoundingly, her predecessor, Ben Bernanke, and his predecessor, Alan Greenspan, in fact, every one of the Fed's chairmen for the last 27 years, was also a member of this persecuted, powerless little tribe, so in need of our sympathy and help. And so was almost everyone considered for nomination to the post when Bernanke retired. Oh, and who do you think is the vice chairman of the Fed? Surprise, surprise, another member of the oppressed and ever-suffering innocent tribe, Stanley Fisher, recently governor of the Bank of Israel. The oppressed minority also operates the most powerful lobby in Washington, AIPAC, and AIPAC demands and gets virtually 100% attendance at its events and 100% compliance to its dictates from presidents, congressmen, and senators who shower billions upon Israel, even as the rest of the world excoriates the Jewish state for human rights violations and for its wholesale slaughter of the people whose land they conquered, the Palestinians. The oppressed minority obtains graduate degrees at 3 times the rate of other Americans. 3 times as many of these persecuted people have incomes over $150,000 compared with the percentage among the rest of us. In fact, almost half of the oppressed minority have incomes over $100,000 per year, by far the highest percentage of any ethnic group. On the whole, in the United States, this poor and persecuted tribe has nearly twice as much annual income as average. These poor and long-suffering people also constitute 35% of U.S. billionaires, even though they only number 2% of the country's population, an overrepresentation of 17 times, or 1,600%. Worldwide, members of this harassed and beaten-down people constitute 11% of the billionaires, while being only 0.2% of the global population, an astounding overrepresentation of 55 times, or 5,400%. In fact, there's no doubt whatever, these poor, suffering Jews are by far the world's wealthiest and most powerful ethnic group. What you have believed, my friends, is the opposite of the truth. No matter what you think I'm doing by bringing up these figures, I'm not trying to deny that Jews have been oppressed. Moving is very annoying and expensive, and Jews have been asked to leave some 109 countries that we know of throughout history. I'm sure it has nothing to do with their attitudes and behavior toward their host peoples, and nothing to do with Jewish attitudes towards other races and peoples generally, since we know that Jews are a light unto the world and the quintessence of humanitarianism and equality. Perhaps these gems, these quotes taken from statements of Jewish leaders during Israel's prolonged and repeated attacks on the trapped people of Gaza, will shed some light on the real beliefs and feelings of these benevolent beings of light. Israel's Deputy Prime Minister, Eli Yishai, stated, quote, "Flatten Gaza. Send it back to the Middle Ages. They need to die," close quote. That great humanitarian, Gilad Sharon, son of former Israeli PM Ariel Sharon, said, quote, "We need to flatten all of Gaza. The Americans didn't stop with Hiroshima," close quote. Israeli Transport Minister Israel Katz called, quote, "For Gaza to be bombed so hard, the population has to flee into Egypt," adding, quote, "There are no innocents in Gaza. Don't let any diplomats who want to look good in the world endanger your lives. Mow them down," close quote. And another beneficent being of light, Matan Vilnai, Israel's deputy defense minister, said, quote, "Gaza must be punished with a bigger Holocaust," close quote, invoking the term the oppressed ones use when discussing their fate during World War II. Which brings up the subject of the Holocausts. Of course, in many ex-European countries, it's actually illegal to doubt the stories that the persecuted beings of light tell about their wartime troubles. A time when an almost unbelievably virulent, yet utterly causeless, anti-Semitism inflamed the Germans, and others too, to the point that they gassed and burned Jews to death at rates which violated the laws of physics and mathematics by several orders of magnitude. But in my opinion, all the publicity given to the Holocaust, the films, the miniseries, the endless books, the elementary school lesson plans, the middle school lesson plans, the high school lesson plans, the college courses, the graduate programs, the coloring books, the trading cards, and all the rest, take away somewhat from all the other Holocausts that God's pets have undergone. Each one of those 109 countries, remember them, is doubtless just or nearly as guilty and should be paying billions in reparations to the oppressed ones, just as Germany and Switzerland are. In fact, if we go back 2,000 years to Roman times, we find that Holocausts were happening even then. In fact, the cast of characters in Roman times is very similar to that in the tales we must believe about World War II. We have persecuted divine beings, Jews, and evil fascist white people, Romans. The tale is found in the Jews' own holy book, the Talmud, in the Midrash Rabbah, and I think it likely that the story had a wide circulation at the time, as it deserves to have today. According to the Talmud, in the year 132 AD, the Romans slaughtered the Jews in the town of Bethar. Bethar was a small town about 10 miles southwest of Jerusalem, and it had an area of approximately 5 city blocks. One source gives its area as about 600 meters by 200 meters. Not only did the Romans kill every Jew in Bethar, but according to the named and authoritative rabbis writing in the Talmud, the number of Jews killed there was 800 million. Just in case such a number might seem a tad exaggerated, the Talmud makes it all clear by informing us that the blood of the Holocausted Jews ran to the sea in a huge tidal wave that swept boulders in its path and was so deep that it reached the nostrils of the Romans' horses. The crimson tide of Jewish blood, we are told, roared over 35 miles to the sea, where it stained the waters red 4 miles from the shore. Not only did 800 million Jews live in Bethar, but they lived in luxurious ease, and within those 600 by 200 meters were 64 million Jewish schoolchildren who attended schools operated by the 400 synagogues. We are additionally informed that the evil Romans wrapped each of the schoolchildren in his scroll and burned all of them, and that the bodies of the Jews were then used to build a wall enclosing Hadrian's vineyard, which was 18 miles square, and the Jewish blood that was salvaged from the tidal wave was used as fertilizer for 7 years. Wicked persons who doubt that Jews always tell the truth will claim that these figures are impossible, but they forget that Jewish truthfulness is a constant, like the sea in E equals MC squared. So the 800 million Jews of Bethar, if arranged in a square with no space between them, must have numbered 28,284 on a side. And since the area of Bethar is equal to a square of 346 meters or 13,638 inches on a side, we can easily reason that each Jew must have been, at the most, 1/2 inch in width. Now, it could be argued that all of Bethar might have consisted of three-story buildings, which would allow us Jews 1.5 inches in width. But if we posit 2 Jews' width between each Jew to permit some movement, we are back to where we started, with Jews that could not possibly have been larger than horseflies. Since Jews always tell the truth, this poses a challenge to the evolutionary biologists to show us how today's Jews rapidly evolved from insect-sized creatures in only 2,000 years. And historians will be hard-pressed to account for the fact that the diminutive size of the Jews was not noted by any contemporary writer. Holocaust whoppers have a very, very long history indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been a bit lighthearted today, but I believe that laughing in the midst of our dangers and troubles is necessary for mental health. And for those still mired in fatal illusions, I think there is no better way to light the path to freedom than by showing the utter absurdity of the lies which chain you. I hope I've helped you open your eyes. I hope I've helped to disillusion you. Now that your eyes have been opened, I invite you to join our community of the awakened. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance Membership Organization, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strong reminding you to do right and fear no one.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Shout.